Jason Wilde is joining us now on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, and now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. Jason Wilde, happy Thursday. Welcome into Kyle and Brust.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Doing well. And I think context matters for our next conversation because...
Oh, boy.
Number two on this list.
Whoa, we're triggering. We got a trigger back there. Desk pop.
Is that the Evan Cohen thing where he talks about taking a shower that Tausch heard this morning at 7:06 and really wanted us to get to and we never did?
What about taking showers?
We did not get to the shower.
I don't know. We never heard it. We're saving it for tomorrow because we had too much stuff going on today with us being in person, which very rarely happens.
I did see that. Now, Jason, Evan had... done a sneaky coaches that are on the hot seat list. So not your typical, top five hot seat. So this is in the hypothetical that probably they go 8-9, they miss the playoffs, that sort of thing. I guess my question to you then is, in this hypothetical, because we just got caught up in this world, what does Matt LaFleur have to do to be completely safe in your opinion?
Yeah, that's look. I thought, last year, Matt LaFleur was asked by somebody, "Do you feel like you're coaching for your job?" And I thought his answer, because he clearly wasn't expecting that question, he wasn't prepared for it. I thought his answer was one of the better answers I've heard him give, and I thought he was very, authentic about how he said it. It didn't sound rehearsed. It didn't sound flippant. He said, I really look at it as I'm coaching for my job every year. And, I think we've talked about this before. I think the idea that the contract extension itself basically, makes him, undeniably safe. I just I'm not sure I agree with that. Now, look, let me be very clear since context does matter. I don't think they're missing the playoffs. They may not win the division. They may not win a playoff game because we've seen that movie before. But I don't think there'll be buyer's remorse from Ed Policy if they have another season where they don't win the division, 7 seed, 6 seed, 5 seed, whatever, and then they lose a playoff game on the road. I don't think Ed'll look at it and go, gosh, maybe I should have made a change. Now, if they somehow were to go 7-10 and not make the playoffs and it's not because of injuries, do I think that there's a world where they would make a change? Sure. And remember, and this is the one thing, this is the reason why I don't look at the money thing as this sort of, they can't do it. There are some college basketball programs or college football programs that, they might keep a coach that they want to fire because they don't want to have to pay out his contract, right? And other college programs that have so much money, they're like, that's fine. We'll fire Jimbo Fisher or whoever.
We've got the governors
might be,
of Louisiana calling for jobs.
Yeah, for real.
Right, exactly. But remember, if Matt LaFleur, let's just say in this hypothetical world, they parted ways and they fired him. Whoever hired him next, whatever they pay him, would then come out of whatever the Packers still owed him in terms of offset language. So, do I think that if Matt LaFleur got fired, which I do not, I'm going to be very, very clear, I do not think is going to happen. I don't think it should happen. I think there's a large segment of the Packers fan base that does not understand how hard it is to win in this league and criticizes him more so than he deserves. Not that he doesn't deserve criticism, but I think he'd be coaching somebody else in 2027. So the whole part of the money thing of having to eat the remainder of whatever the extension is, it's not really that big of a factor because now would it allow some other team to maybe pay him less than they would if he was a complete free agent? Maybe, but I think my point is the extension does not make him unfireable. I just don't think they'll have any reason to fire him.
Jason, do you think the Packers actually improved this offseason from last year?
I mean, I think it depends on what Zaire Franklin is, for one, and two, what Javon Hargrave is. I mean, they did with those two guys, as we've talked about a bunch, something that's not typically what they do, right? They went out and got guys that are veteran players that now Zaire Franklin's had his 30th birthday. Is Zaire Franklin an upgrade over Quay Walker? Is Javon Hargrave an upgrade over Colby Wooden? Is Matthew Golden playing more going to be an upgrade over a pretty productive guy, although a kind of an odd guy in Romeo Doubs? I don't know. But if I'm going to be the guy who has done this time and time and time again about being 9-3-1 and leading the Denver Broncos and on the verge of a 2-touchdown lead on them on the road in the second half, I mean, I'm not sure they needed to improve a ton. What they needed to do is get healthy and get Tucker Kraft back and have Christian Watson and Jaden Reed for an entire year. And, you know, I hear the promo all the time of you guys talking about the when Micah Parsons is going to be back. And, yeah, that's become a real question mark.
So, Jason,
because of things he said on his brother said on social media. So there's a lot of moving parts here to know whether or not they'll be better or not. But I think they improved simply by getting guys that were already on their team healthy.
Yeah, I agree. So basically, me just reading between the lines, you thought the Packers are right there with the Seattle Seahawks then? When healthy?
I do. I look, there's a, and I don't know who did this, but I saw it kind of caught fire on Twitter. A bunch of people on the Packers Twitterverse had retweeted it. But it was basically the clip of Josh Jacobs' big run in Denver. And whoever the fan was wrote, am I the only one that thought the Packers were going to the Super Bowl after this run? No, you weren't. Because I certainly thought they were going to beat the Denver Broncos that day. And they were going to be a more than legit Super Bowl contender. And I know we go back to that game a lot. And I made a comment on our show yesterday that, like, Matt LaFleur's job is not to keep wallowing in, oh, what might have been. His job is to make sure that they don't have the same things happen to them in the future. It is not to, you know, live in the past of the disappointment of that playoff game. And I don't think he is. Like, I don't think he's wired that way. Like, the rest of us are. I mean, I'm the biggest culprit of it. I keep talking about that game, you know. And there's, if I'm the head coach of the Packers, I'm saying, there's not a damn thing I can do about that anymore. It happened the way it happened. He, you know, Christian Watson left in an ambulance. We lost Zach Tom in that game, which everyone forgets. You know, again, I'm speaking as the Packers head coach, and then we lose our best defensive player. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I would have trouble moving on, and I'd be living in the past, but he's the head coach. There's nothing he can do about it. So I think they were right there. Do I think they would have played in the Super Bowl if they get through that game and both Zach Tom and Micah Parsons never get hurt? I don't know. They still wouldn't have had the number one seed. I don't know. Like, they might not have. They could have. But, like, if they had to go to Seattle and win an NFC championship game on the road, you know, it's a coin flip. But I certainly think the narrative about the coach is a lot different if they lose the NFC championship game in Seattle and they win the division. Because, again, let's not forget, you know, Romeo Doubs not handling that onside kick in the second Bears game, the first one in Chicago, the regular season one, that's what also makes that Minnesota game meaningless. Because if he handles that and they beat the Bears, then in both the regular season games, then the Packers are in a win and we win the division scenario for that finale in Minnesota. And they win the division. And so those are all ifs and buts, but no, I think they were a team that was completely capable of playing in the NFC Championship game, and then any given Sunday. Maybe they win it, maybe they don't. But instead, they lost four in a row to close the regular season. They blew a 21-3 halftime lead and gave up 25 fourth quarter points in a loss to their arch rivals. And that's why this offseason the narrative has been so much about that. And that's what happens. That's the reality. But they were so much closer to a very different reality. And Matt LaFleur can't keep thinking, oh, I wish. But I can keep going on the radio and talking about it like that. Because that, I think, is the reality of where this team was.
Jason Woodley joining us on the Yuengling guest hotline. I'm Kyle and Brust across ESPN Wisconsin. And Jason, I'm not going to, I know lists amongst the whole NFL is not what we want to do, but it was interesting to see.
Other than the fact that I'm doing one.
No, just for reference, as I ask you a different question, it was interesting to see the Packers at 27th from Warren Sharp, who's a deep analytic guy, ranked from an offensive line standpoint. Is it fair to say, and maybe I just want your overall opinion of the importance of both, that the offensive line is just as important as Micah Parsons? Because if the offensive line doesn't perform, then Jordan Love and the offense can't thrive the way they need to while Micah Parsons is out.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously have a lot of offensive linemen in our lives, right? We've got Tausch, we've got Brian Bulaga, we've got Joe Thomas who joins us. They will tell you that you're 1,000% right, that it all starts up front, and it does. And, you know, their running backs aren't going to be productive if their run blocking doesn't improve, and that definitely was a problem last year. Obviously, the protection with a new starting left tackle and with some inconsistency, especially during that playoff game, is obviously a huge issue too. So, yeah, look, there's two positions that I was talking about this with Gabe this morning on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. I think universally we can all agree that the two positions that you have the least amount of faith in as a Packers fan, or in my case a Packers beat writer, is their offensive line and their cornerback group. And if those two groups turn out to be much better than they kind of are on paper on July 8th or 9th, then they got a chance to do some really good things. If they're as concerning or more concerning than they are today once the games actually start, then they got some problems. And we'll see which ends up being the case at each position.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time and the insight as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Woodley, host of Woodley and Tausch across ESPN Wisconsin, 9 to noon.